Now we come to our 24th in this series of messages on the life of David. We're looking at Psalm 139, and today we're looking at verses 6 through 12. The Bible said, Psalm 139, verse number 6, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning, and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." Our fathers, we preach this message today. Will you help us? Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we come to verses 6 through 12 of Psalm 139. This psalm was written when David was a very, very young man. And David had great knowledge of God, even at a young age. Now let me say that you can be a young person and have great knowledge of God. Now not all young people are void of the knowledge of God. You can be young and have the knowledge of God. But today, many of our young people and our older people choose not to have the knowledge of God. Now as we look into this today, really, verse number 6 is where we would pick up at. And it says this, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it." Now he's talking about what has previously been written in verses 1 through 5, how that God knows his downsettings and his uprisings, and how God can past him and beset him round about. And what the psalmist is saying, that knowledge is too high for me. I just can't understand how God protects his children and his people. Well, you know, I would not want a God that I could understand, would you? Many people today are trying to bring God down to their level. And I certainly don't want to bring God down to my level. Amen. I want a God that I don't understand sometimes, because that means he knows more than I do. Now, you know, we as Christian people have to take a lot of things on faith. Now, we have a lot of people that have misused the word faith in our day. And a lot of people take faith way out of context. And it's kind of sad in this hour when you preach on something, you have to stop and take a lot of time to explain it, because people don't really understand what you're talking about, because the devil and the seducers and the false prophets have come on the scene in such a great way. But we are to look to the Lord and to trust the Bible, the Word of God, and to trust that book. Amen. That's what we're to do. Now, I believe you're listening to a man that believes every word in the King James Bible. I don't use any other Bible. I believe the Word of God. I'm not trying to understand it better. I'm just preaching the Word of God. Amen. I believe this Bible is easy understood if you're a saved person. There are some things that we may not understand clearly, but God will help us with that as we go along. I believe the more you study, the more you learn. Amen. But as far as how God does things, and as far as God's knowledge toward man, then I believe we'll take these verses. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 says this. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Now, you mess up when you try to understand God. I mess up when I try to understand God. You know, sometimes we have to be careful with saying the Lord led us into certain things. We have to be careful, because sometimes I have thought God meant one thing and he meant another thing. God does not speak to man in an audible voice. I want you to understand that. God does not come out of heaven and just speak to man in an audible voice. You'll never hear God do that. God speaks to you through two ways, through the Bible, the Word of God, and God does speak through the Holy Ghost of God, but it's a gentle leading. And you've got to understand how God works. And many times you really don't understand everything that God's saying. So you have to wait and see and wait on the Lord, because God does not sometimes let you know every little detail that he's doing in your life. And I'm a man, I like to know every little thing God's doing. I like to know every little detail God's doing. And sometimes that don't work that way. So I have to learn that that things happen. And there's things happen sometimes that, quite frankly, I don't like, you know. And there's things happen that you don't like. But what we got to do is we got to trust the Lord. If we're believers, if we're Christian people, if we're born again, we got to trust God that God will do the right thing and that God has done the right thing. Amen. And we have to leave that with the Lord. Many times we have to just leave things with the Lord that we don't understand. Now, let me show you this. In verse number 6 of Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible said, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Amen. So we need to let the Lord direct our paths. Now, we'd acknowledge him in all our ways. In other words, we're to say, "All right, Lord, you can have me. Whatever you want to do with me, you just do it. I'm yours." All right? So when you come to that place in your life, that place of submission, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." All right? He'll take care of you. He'll let you. I can look back over my life, and my life has ended up just like a puzzle. Amen. God has so protected me and helped me down through my life. And I thank God for it. And I praise the Lord for God protecting me and helping me down through my life. And the thing is, sometimes I've not even understood what God was doing with me. Amen. But God knows what he's doing with you. And sometimes I maybe think, "Lord, what in the world? We're never going to get through this battle or through this storm or through this trouble or up this hill." But God directs our paths. Amen. God will direct you. And remember this, if God, and I've said it many times, if God can take a black cow and make it eat green grass and give white milk and yellow butter, God, amen, is God. Amen. And by the way, God can take care of you. If he can make the sun rise, he can take care of you. Amen. Now we move to verse number 7. Of Psalm 139, and this is David, and he's just talking about God in this psalm. He's talking about the knowledge of God. Now remember, David's probably 18 years old at the time this psalm is written. If the commentary writers are correct, and they say that this psalm was written when he was a very young man. And you'll have to look over my allergies, amen, that I've got today. They're really bothering me. But now, look at this second, or whatever it is I've got, amen. All right, now look with me in verse number 7. The Bible says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I go?" Now, he's beginning to, now he's going to give a list of things, stating that he can't get away from God. By the way, who would want to get away from God? Amen. Well, I tell you, there's only one class of people that want to get away from God, and that is those who are living and conducting sin. And those are the people that want to get away from God. Those are the ones. Amen. When you, as a sinner, as a lost person, the reason you're where you are is you want to get as far away from God as you can. Do you know why people in America hate the Bible and hate the church and hate God, and they're trying to have a godless society? They've already kicked him out of the school. They've kicked him out of the courtroom. And boy, we're doing so much better since we did that, ain't we? I mean, that's sarcasm at its best, right? But let me say this to you, friend, that you know what? Only people who are caught in their sin want to get away from God. There are people that are deep in sin today, and they won't get saved. You know why? Because they don't want to give their sin up. They don't want to. Now, the psalmist asks a question. As a born-again believer, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Now, I want to say this on the radio, and I want to say it unapologetically. I want to say it with absolute authority. You cannot get lost after you get saved. There is not one verse in the King James Bible, not one, that will back that kind of theology up. Now, here's the deal. There have been some verses taken out of context. And back up in the hills and hollers where I was raised, that stuff has been preached. And I'm not against where I've been raised. I want to thank God for the state that I was raised in, the community, the county. Amen. But what I'm saying to you is this. Some men just did not rightly divide the word of truth. Now, you see, and you could name me many verses. I'm not going to get into the subject of eternal security today or eternal salvation. But you could name many verses, and you'd have questions about them, and I can answer them, amen, according to the Word of God. Many people, one common thing is people say, "Well, if you backslide," you know, they call it backslide, "if you get drunk, you know, you'll go to hell." The Bible said there'll be no drunkard entering the kingdom of God. Well, and it did say that. It does say that. But that's not what that's talking about, is that a man's not going to get saved dog drunk and him just get saved and keep on drinking. That's what that's talking about. It's not talking about, my friend, that that, that if you backslide and all that. And so anyway, what I'm saying to you is this, where can I go from God's Spirit? Now, the psalmist asked that question. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost came upon men. Now, in the New Testament, in the church age, from the church forward, the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside the believer. John chapter number 14, verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse number 17 of John 14 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, the Spirit of God dwells with me. He goes everywhere that I go. All right. Now, there's two things about the Holy Spirit living inside a believer. And David, I don't know if David realized all this when he wrote this psalm or not, but I think maybe he did. David had some insight about the Spirit of the Lord. There are two things that can be done. Number one, the Spirit of God can be grieved. And the Holy Ghost said in Ephesians chapter number 4, and I believe about verses number 30, 31, 32, it's talking about, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieving the Holy Ghost is doing what you should not do. Bitterness, unforgiveness, different things like that can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, it doesn't mean that he's not there. It does not mean that at all. He's still in you, but you can grieve him. Lot, I believe Lot grieved the Lord. Although the Holy Spirit came upon me in those days, Lot still grieved the Lord. He really did. The way he lived, his very name meant hidden. There's nothing good that you can say about Lot's life. And if Peter had not told us that Lot was in heaven, we wouldn't know that he was. Now, then there's also another thing. After you get saved, grieving the Holy Ghost, and then there is quenching the Holy Ghost. And quenching the Lord is not doing what you ought to do. When you, the Bible says in the book of James, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so you quench the Holy Spirit. You quench him. Now he lives inside of you. He can be grieved and he can be quenched. Now, God forbid that we as Christians quench and grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We should take note of who is living inside of us. Amen. When you backslide and go to the world, you're grieving the Holy Ghost that's inside of you. When you say things or watch things or do things that is contrary to the Holy Ghost of God, you are grieving him. Amen. And so that's why we better be careful. That's why a Christian ought to live separated unto God, so that we don't quench or grieve the Holy Ghost of God. You can't get away from God's Spirit, and I can't. By the way, that ought to be a comfort to the saint of God, that the Holy Ghost is going to guide you through this troubled world. You see, the peace that we have, Paul, in a lot of his epistles, he would write, peace be unto you. Now, peace was the Hebrew greeting, and grace was the Greek greeting, and The Hebrew would greet with shalom or peace. And so Paul would say, grace and peace be unto you, you see. And grace came first, because you always get grace before you get peace, right? You get saved and then you get the peace of God. Now, but I have, from the day I got saved, from the hour that I got saved, somewhere between 8 and 9 o'clock on a Sunday night, January 22nd, 1978, when I received the Lord Jesus Christ into my being, into my body, or into my soul, rather, and not my fleshly body. The flesh didn't get saved, but the soul. When I received him into my heart, when I received the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit took up residence inside, and he's there. Now, Matthew chapter number 28 and verse number 20. And I believe this talking to every believer. It's not just to the missionary, but it's talking to every believer here. Amen. It is talking to the missionary as you go do the Lord's work, but we're all to do the Lord's work here. And I know this is part of the Great Commission, but I believe this is still talking to all the believers. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. Now watch this. And lo, I am with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, what that means is God is going to be with us always. He's never going to leave us. Amen. and unto the end of this world, which is the word there is age, and to the rapture of the church. The Holy Ghost is going to abide with the bride of Christ, which is the church. And on the day of rapture, we're going to be carried out of here. And the Lord Jesus Christ is somewhat going to lift the Holy Spirit from this earth. He's going to turn again to the Jews, from the Gentile. And so the Spirit of God is within the believer, you see. And that's the ministry of the Holy Ghost of God. And so we can't get away from God's Spirit no matter where you go. And that ought to comfort some of you that you cannot get out of salvation. Let me just say this. If you believe the doctrine of the so-called doctrine of losing your salvation, which is not taught in the Bible, but if you believe that, you're going to have trouble all your life doubting your salvation. You're going to have problems because you're going to sit there and wonder, what sin do I commit that will get me unsaved? I'll give you an illustration. Let's say you're going down the highway and you're driving 70 miles an hour, and you just have a bad thought about your preacher. Maybe you're mad at him. Maybe he did something you didn't agree with, and you have that bad thought about him, and all of a sudden, wham, you hit a tractor trailer truck and you're dead. Well, you know what? You don't have time to repent. Where are you going? Amen? If you're saved, you're going to heaven. Amen? If you're lost, you go to hell. It's not dependent on what we do. I want you to understand that. That would be works, my friend. And the Bible said, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you can't run from the Spirit of God. Amen? I say this to you, Christian, and we're going to talk about this in the next part of it. But when God deals with you, you cannot run. Amen? From God. All right? And so we'll talk about that in just a minute. And I'll say this to the sinner. The Holy Ghost of God is who does the convicting. He's the one that shows you you're lost in the first place. And my suggestion to you, my advice to you would be, not a suggestion, but my advice would be, when he deals with you about getting saved, you need to get saved right then. Amen. You need to get saved right then. As a sinner, the Bible said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. There will come a day when God will quit dealing with you as a sinner. He will quit dealing with you, and you'll die. And you'll go to a devil's hell, my friend, without God. But here David is taking the position of a believer, and he's saying, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Well, we can't get away from God's spirit. Amen. Then look at verse number 7, the latter part of it. Amen. And he says this. He said, let me go back here. Let me just go back for a minute, and let me read to you let's see here. I want to go back a couple of pages in my outline here. I want to read something to you. Let's see. All right. So, yeah, verse number, amen, I'm not going to be able to find what I want to. So let's just go on. All right, we'll look at the latter part of Psalm 139, verse number 7. Whither shall I flee from thy presence? Now, we can't run from God's Spirit, and we can't get away from God's presence. Now, the word presence here means God's face. Now, when we're saved by the grace of God, you just can't get away from God. Amen. Now, I know many people try to run from God, you know, and I think it's wrong for a man to run. Somebody said, well, I ran from the call to preach for 10 years. Why in the world would you want to do that? Why? Now, I know the old thing of, run from it as long as you can. I understand why men say that, because what they're trying to do is make sure that you're called. And I'm going to say this. We got a lot of young men in the ministry right now that have never been called by God. They've been called by mama. They've been called by the Bible college. They've been called by the brethren, but they have never been called of God. Amen. I'm going to say that. But God does call men to the ministry. And so when you're called to do any kind of work in the church, you should not run from that work. Now, Jonah was a Jew. All right, Jonah was a prophet in Israel in the days of the kings. And Jonah, the number one enemy of that day was the nation of Assyria, where Nineveh was. It was a wicked city. They were cruel people. They were mean. It would be like the equivalent of our enemies today, maybe North Korea or Iran or somebody who does not like the United States or Iraq. It would be the equivalent of those. And so one day God tells Jonah the Jew to go to a Gentile nation and preach to them and tell them to repent. And boy, Jonah did not understand that. He did not understand that. And by the way, it's good to be patriotic, but it's better to be obedient to God. Amen. In Jonah chapter 1, verse number 3, the Bible said, but Jonah arose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, the Bible said, and he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish. from the presence of the Lord. Now, Jonah, by the way, notice that verse. Jonah just kept going down. Amen. He's going down to Tarshish, went down the ship, went down the sides of it, and he finally went to sleep. You know what? He's a type of a backslidden man. He just kept going down, down, down. And by the way, it wasn't over for Jonah. He's getting ready to go down a whole lot farther when they threw him off that boat and that whale scooped him up. And he went down in the whale's belly, but then he also went down to the uttermost parts of the earth, to the bottoms of the mountains. And so Jonah really took a ride. Now, you're saying, now, preacher, do you really believe Jonah went down in a whale's belly for 3 days and three nights? I do. I do. Amen. I believe the book. I believe every word of the Bible. I believe that. Amen. And that's exactly where he was. But now, when I said to you that to say this, Jonah did not like God's command. And David's saying here, whither shall I flee from thy presence? Now, Jonah didn't like God's command. Notice the last part of Jonah chapter 1, verse number 3. The Bible said that he went to Tarshish. He was wanting to go to Tarshish. He said, from the presence of the Lord. He wanted to get away from God. Listen, that's the first sign of backsliding, when you want to get away from preaching. You want to get away from church. You want to get away from the things of God. I have no time for these recovering fundamentalists, amen, who are rebellious as the devil himself, and they want to be rebellious and tell how bad they've had it and how horrible our lives have been. I want to say this. I was raised an independent Baptist, a fundamentalist. I was raised to believe the scriptures were holy. The sanctuary was holy. I was raised with separation. I was raised to respect Sunday. I was raised with old time singing. I was raised with the supplication and secret place praying. And brother, that's still right for this day. Amen. And I want to say to you that you choose what you want to choose in life, but you rebel on God, if you're really saved, you'll get the chastening of God. Now, I promise you on that. I don't know the whole story. I don't really understand the story. My daddy said that God called him to preach when he was a very young man in 1956. Now, I don't understand that. My daddy would have been very young, but he said God called him to preach. And my daddy ran from that. And my daddy, God beat him all the way to the house. I promise you. He died with three kinds of cancer in his body. Now, and I began to wonder whether my daddy was saved or not. I thought, you know, he just might not even been saved. And my wife pointed out something to me one day. She said, Ricky, you think about it. She said, I believe your daddy was saved. I said, why do you believe that? She said, Ricky, she said, think about how your daddy died. Think about how he died. He lost everything. Daddy loved to eat. Oh, he just loved food. That was his life. He lost his ability to eat before he died. He lost his ability to walk before he died. He lost his ability to swallow before he died. I'm telling you, God beat him up. Listen, you and we're not preaching this anymore today. You know, in our churches today, this contemporary feel that's in the air, and I'm gonna preach against it. And if you don't like that, it's okay. But I've not changed my mind. I'm not gonna back up or compromise. I thank you, young preachers ought to preach like the old preachers. Amen. And I think you ought to preach the Bible. I don't think there's a different standard for the young and the old. And the thing is, today we're not preaching the chastening of God. There's no fear of God. Oh, God won't hurt you. He's such a God of love. Let me tell you something. God will kill you. You mess with him. God said, I kill and I make alive. Amen. God can put you in the graveyard as easy as you don't want to, as you don't have to. Now, wait a minute. God's not looking to go out and kill a bunch of people. God's not sitting up in heaven saying, who am I going to kill today? But I promise you one thing. You stick your finger in God's nose. You stick your finger in God's face. And brother, you better be careful. Amen. There was a fellow one time. He's sitting in his yard. And he dared, there's a thunderstorm came up. And he dared God to strike him with lightning. He just dared God cussing, blaspheming. And God didn't do that. By the way, God don't move on your terms and on your ways. Amen. The next day, that man was sitting outside in a lawn chair, and a spider crawled up on his leg and bit him, and the man died. I want to tell you something, brother. I want to tell you something. God does what he will do. But I promise you this, as one fellow preached a message one time, God will set your fields on fire. You better believe that. You say, I'll get out here and I'll live any way I want to. I'll promise you God will chasten you. You may not recognize the chastening. You may not own up to the chastening, but God will chasten you. You can't get away from the presence of God. Young man, if God's calling you to preach, you will preach. or you'll pay the price for it. Amen. If he's calling you to be a missionary, you'll go, or you'll pay the price for it. I promise you, as one man said, I'd rather be in Africa, in a lion's mouth, in the will of God, than outside the will of God on a church pew in North Carolina. It is very important for me to be in the will of God. Very, very important. I know that I cannot run from God's presence. Amen. You can't run from his presence. Now, let me show you number four. Number four, Psalm 139, verse number 8. The Bible said, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. Well, the psalmist said, you know, if I go up there, I'm going to see you. Boy, praise God. Ain't that good? We know where God is, right? And for the saint of God, that ought to be a comfort, that we can't get away from God. When one day we will ascend to heaven, and one day we're going where God is. Did you know that? That's comforting, ain't it? Now, I've been working for the Lord for many years. I've been preaching the Bible. I'll be starting my 40th year here just in a few days of preaching this blessed Bible. And brother, I've never seen him with a human eye. I've felt him many times. I've felt his touch. I know he's there. I have felt his correcting hand sometimes. Amen. I've felt his loving hand, his chastening hand, his peaceful hand. I know God's real. But one day, glory to God, not in this old body, but in another body, amen, the glorified body, I will behold him face to face. I will see my maker. Amen. Job said that his redeemer, amen, would stand on the earth in the latter day. I'm going to see God. I'm going to heaven one day. I'm going to see him. Whether it's by the rapture, as one fellow said, whether it's by the clouds or the clods, I'm going to see him one of these days. Amen. And if I ascend into heaven, he's there. How about that? Boy, I tell you, think about all your loved ones that have died in the Lord that are saved. I think about my little mama. She lost her mind things before she died, part of it. And she didn't know a lot of things she ought to know. But I'll tell you, that we thought she ought to know. She's losing her mind. But you know what? I think about it. If my mama had been living right now, she'd have been well into her early 80s. But you know something about that? Mama's better off in heaven. Thank God she's there. I think another dear friend of mine that was just like a mother to me. She was just like a mother. She's same age, almost my mama, same age as my daddy. And not long ago, she went to heaven, a good, godly lady. And I think about her. And you know what? I'm going to get to see them again. Why, glory to God, they're in the presence of God Almighty. And they're not suffering with cancer and Alzheimer's and dementia. And they don't have to take 15 bottles of medicine every day. Why, brother, that ought to make us shout and praise the Lord about that. Why, you say, preacher, I miss them. I know you do. But I wouldn't call my mama back to this old world for nothing. Amen. I think about friends of mine that have left out of here with a dreaded disease of cancer. I think about that. But one day, thank God, we'll stand in the presence of God. David said, if I ascend into heaven, he said, thou art there. How about that? Amen. I can tell you where God's at. He's in heaven today. How about that? Amen. And brother, you say, preacher, are you going to see him? As sure as I'm sitting here, as sure as I'm talking in this microphone, I will see the Lord one day. I'm looking forward to that day that I get to see him. Amen. I'm going to see him. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 8. He said, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Amen. I'm confident about that thing. Amen. I'm ready, brother. I mean, this old flesh is troubled. I was making a joke at my doctor's office the other day, and I told the young lady that checked me in. I said, I'm over here so much, I think I just need to build a room on this building and live over here. Amen. And you know, I'm tired of doing that. I'm tired of going to the doctor. I'm tired of this old body breaking down and not doing what it ought to be doing. But let me tell you something about that, brother. You know what? This body started dying at 25 minutes after 12 on a Monday morning, September the 19th, the 1966. Buddy, the day I come screaming in this world, I started dying right there. I sure did. But I'm going to tell you this, God knows in one day, amen, one day, I'm going to stand before God. One day I'm going to see him face to face. Why? Because of the decision I made January 22nd, 1978, when I asked the Lord in my heart, and he saved me in that altar that night. Oh, glory be to God. I'm going to see him. That ought to get you excited, amen. That ain't nothing worked up. That ought to just get you excited that you're going to see the Lord, amen. That you're going to be in his presence one day, my friend. I mean, some of you, you listen to me by the radio and you're shut in. You can't go to church anymore. I had somebody call me the other day and they're not able to go to church anymore. They listen to the radio. Oh, let me tell you something, friend. One of these days, you're going to lay those wheelchairs down. You're going to lay those canes down. You're going to lay those breathing machines and that oxygen down. And glory to God, you're going to a better country. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, that ought to make you happy in the Lord to realize He's in heaven and you're going to get to see Him one of these days. Amen. Oh, yes. If I ascend into heaven, amen. Oh, let me tell you, I'm going there, ain't you? One lady asked old Dr. B.R. Lake and said, I hope to meet you in heaven. He said, ma'am, that's entirely up to you because I'm going. Amen. I'm ready to go. My way's already been paid. They come to me in the 8th grade of school, and I was so shy and backward, and they said to me, we're going to Washington, D.C. And I'd like to went back in those days, and I was shy and backward. And they said, if you'll go, said, we'll pay you away. Said, the school's going to pay for you to go to Washington, D.C. Matter of fact, I'd have been in Washington the same day that President Reagan was shot in 1981. I would have been in Washington that day. It would have been an unforgettable day, I guess. But I would have been in Washington that day. I was scheduled to be there. I wasn't there. And but the day is, but what I'm saying is this, my way was paid. And you know what I could do? I could choose to go or I could choose not to go. And brother, my way's been paid to heaven. In January 22nd, 1978, I come to the Lord. I didn't know an apostle from an epistle. They could have been married to each other for all I knew. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about God, but I called on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I did, my decision was made. It was settled in heaven. And if I ascend into heaven, God is there. Hallelujah. Amen. Ain't that wonderful? Well, let's go on here. Amen. Verse number 8 of Psalm 139. Well, what knowledge David knew as a young man. I'm enjoying going through this 139th Psalm. Amen. All right, in verse number 8, he said, if I make my bed, now watch this, in hell, behold, thou art there. Now, I know sometimes that's a little hard to understand, because in the one place in the Bible, God said that hell, I believe, was put from the presence of the Lord. Well, let me say this to you. God looks on what He wants to look on. Amen. But as of right now, hell in its current state is in the heart of the earth. I want you to understand that. By the way, I'm just going to say this. This word hell here in Psalm 139 does not mean the grave. I want you to understand that. One commentary writer explained that was the grave. Well, I wish they'd quit trying to explain the Bible. The King James translator said it was hell, and I believe it's hell. Amen. And you'll say, well, brother, how can God be in hell? I'm going to say this to you. Every sinner that dies lost without God, God punishes you in hell. Amen. You die and you go to hell. And God's aware of what's going on in hell. God ain't give the devil a free rein to do what he wants to do. No, sir. And that word hell in the Hebrew literally means, and I know it is the Hebrew word for grave, but that's not what altogether it means here. Sometimes you've got to study words. You can't just take the first meaning. It also means the underworld. It means where the demons are and the devils are. And I believe, brother, that people are being tormented in hell. I believe God's aware of hell. Amen. It means the pit or the underworld. Psalm in Proverbs 16, verse number 4. Now listen to this verse. Proverbs, we have, and Psalm 139 is all about an all-knowing, all-seeing, all-being God. Psalm 139 is about the presence of God and the awareness of God to mankind. All right, so we see here, in Proverbs 16, verse number 4, the Lord, capital letters, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Now let me stop and say something right there. That does not mean that God predestinated some people to go to heaven and some to go to hell. What it does mean is the sovereignty of God knew who would be wicked and who wouldn't. And God knew that the wicked was going to be evil. And so God made them. Amen. God made them. Now, God prepared the hell for the devil and his angels. Man was never supposed to go to hell. Man was not supposed to sin in the garden, but he did. And so when he did, man started going to hell. I believe that Cain was the first man to ever go to hell. I believe that if he wasn't the first, he's one of the first as men died in that day. And so, what I'm saying to you is this, God knows where a man is today. When a man dies lost, God knows where he is. Now, God's not going to pardon you in hell. Nobody can't pray you out of hell. I don't care what they tell you. That's not what the Bible teaches. Amen. No, sir. There's no such place as purgatory. There's no such place as middle ground. You're either in heaven or you're in hell when you die. Amen. And you ain't coming out. Amen. You're not coming out of hell until the white throne judgment. And then you'll be judged and then you'll be cast into the lake of fire. So those people there in hell today, they got a long time to wait yet, according to the Bible. They got at least 1,007 years plus. Amen. So I'm saying to you this today, God knows who goes to hell. And by the way, hell is an awful word. And we ought to preach that in the pulpits again. We've come up with this lovey sort of stuff. Well, you know, preacher, the sinner is already condemned. That's exactly right. But brother, we have no fear of God. Jesus talked about a man going to hell. Jesus even gave a parable of a man burning in hell. And we as the Baptist preachers, we're scared of that word. We won't preach that now. Pulpit. We say, preacher, that'll run people away. You'd be surprised. You go back to preaching hell in the pulpit, and brother, more people will get saved than ever. You know what's wrong with the people in America? We ain't afraid of nothing. We think our great military is always going to win the battles. We think we're always going to win the war. We think there's always going to be a way made for us. There's always going to be a cure made. What if there's not one day? Amen. What if there's not? We've heard so many stories that if we ever have a war or an attack or the power grid does go down, we're going to be so unprepared that we ain't going to know what to do. You know why? Because we don't trust in God. We trust in self in America. And the sinner comes to our churches and sits on our pews, and we don't preach hell. We preach reform him. We preach if we can just clean him up. Brother, you can clean a hog up and turn him loose. He'll go back and jump in the mud hole. You know why? Because he's a hog. And brother, sinners need to be saved. And when they're gone to hell, God knows where hell is. Amen. And so he said that. He said that you'd go to hell. Now, in Ezekiel 28:13, by the way, I just want to give you this. The devil, Satan, is a created being. He was called Lucifer in heaven. And Satan fell out of heaven. Satan is not equal with God. I want you to understand that. Now, the Lord protect me in the blood when I'm preaching this. Satan is not equal with God. Satan is a created being. He don't want you to know that, but he is. Ezekiel chapter number 28, verse 13. It's talking about Satan. It said, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, the carbuncle, and gold, and the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes, it's talking about his musical ability here, was prepared in thee in the day, watch this, that thou wast created. So you see, God created the devil. God created hell. He sure did. Because God knew there'd be men that would go there. God allowed the devil to do what he's doing. But God can stop the devil anytime he wants to. Many times we give too much credit to the devil and too much credit to man. Now, did you know that devil worship is on the rise? Do you know that people now are worshiping the devil? And our TV programs and all this, they paint him up as a fellow in a red suit with a big long tail. And let me tell you something about that, friend. That's not the devil. I tell you where the devil's at. He's in the home. He's in the television set. He's in Hollywood. He's in the nudity. He's in the drugs. He's in the wickedness. He's in the pornography. He's in the bar. He's in the liquor. He's in the winery. He's in the lottery. Amen. That's where the devil is. He's in homosexuality. He's in fornication. That's where the devil is. Amen. You'll find him. That's where the devil's at. And brother, he's taking me into hell. And by the way, he's in the Baptist church. And he's on television, and he's religious, and he's in a three-piece suit, and he's taking people's money and taking them to hell by the thousands. And brother, people say, I can live as good at home. I sit at home on Sunday and watch the TV preacher, and that fellow's going to die lost, and you're going to die lost, and both of you going to end up in hell. Amen. If you're not saved by the grace of God. I don't mean that ugly. I'm just simply telling you God knows where hell is. Amen. Sure he does. He wouldn't be God if he didn't know what was going on down there. Amen. Let's go on here. Psalm 139, verse number 9. The Bible said, if I take the wings of the morning. Now the psalmist said, if I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. I mean, in other words, wherever I go, God, you're going to be there. In other words, David could take the wings of the morning, just go around and around. Amen. He'd be there every time the sun rose. Or if he was in the uttermost parts of the sea, he'd see God. You know why? God made the sea. There's all kind of things down there under the sea, and God talked about that in the book of Job. Oh, my friend, listen, God is a God, all-knowing, all-seeing. You think God can't take care of you and me? Brother, in the next message, Lord willing, we're going to be talking about how God fearfully and wonderfully made us as human beings. And brother, we serve, one of the young people's words I don't really like much, but I'll use it here just to show you I'm still young at heart. God's awesome. I don't like that word, but anyway, he is really. I mean, it's amazing what God knows. God's smarter than any computer has ever been. Brother, why in the world wouldn't we trust God? A man would be foolish not to trust the Lord. A man would be foolish to say, I'm going to take things in my own hands. All you preachers, you say, preacher, you don't know what's going on at my church. You better trust the Lord, friend. Amen. You churches that are seeking pastors, you pulpit committees, you better trust the Lord. You better not strike out on your own. You deacons, you better not strike out on your own. Amen. You're in your home and your marriage. You better not strike out on your own. You better seek God. You better trust the Lord. You better do what God said and what the Bible said. And God will bring you out of that. Amen. David said, I can't run from you, God. If I take the wings of the morning, if I go to the uttermost part of the sea. Verse number 10 said, even there shalt thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall uphold me. We're talking about Jonah a minute ago. You know, you think about Jonah. He's this backslid preacher. He had to be a Baptist because he was so rebellious. And so and by the way, this literally what happened. Jonah got thrown overboard and literally got swallowed by a whale. Now, I'm not going to get into all that stuff, but you read some of these commentary writers, and they'll tell you he did this and he did that and all this. And most of that's a bunch of hogwash. I just want you to understand. Listen, I'm not going to belittle what the Bible said. You say, where was Jonah for those 3 days and nights? In the belly of the whale. You say, but what are you going to do with that verse in chapter number 2 where he said, out of the belly of hell cried I? Well, David said the same thing. Jonah thought he was, amen, equivalent to being in hell, but he wasn't, amen. And that's what Jonah was saying there. Didn't mean he went to hell. All right, I want you to understand that. You say, preacher, what are you going to do in that verse of the book of Matthew where it said about as the Son of Man was in the heart of the earth, as Jonah's in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man. I ain't going to do anything with it. It's a type. And what Jesus was saying to those Jews was, as Jonah was, so is Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what he was saying. Jonah was a picture. If you study Jonah and Jesus, they were direct opposites. Jesus was God-man. Jonah was the man of God. Jesus was sinless. Jonah was full of sin. Jesus was submissive. Jonah was obedient. Jesus went forward to the cross. Jonah ran from Nineveh. Amen. And so Jonah gets swallowed by a whale. When he does that, God puts that whale in overdrive, and he dives to the uttermost part of the sea. I mean, the bottoms of the mountains. Now, can you imagine? Here's this Jew, and he's a preacher. And he runs from God, he gets on a ship, he goes to sleep, they wake him up, said this great big storm. All of a sudden they get that preacher, and they throw him overboard. And Jonah said, well, I guess I'm going to die. And all of a sudden here comes big old whale, whomp, just swallows him up. All that seaweed, all that acid, all that stuff that's in there. I mean, Jonah's in that whale's belly. He thought, oh my goodness. And all of a sudden, he can feel that whale going in overdrive. Jonah's already sick as a mule, and that whale's heading for the bottom of the ocean about 150 miles an hour. And boy, there's that preacher. And for 3 days and 3 nights, he's in there. And he thinks he's hid from the presence of God. But you read Jonah chapter number 2, one of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible. You see, God had already told through Solomon's prayer, that if those Jews would look toward that temple and they would cry to God, he would hear them. Now, Jonah was a long ways from the temple. But Jonah, in the bottom of that ocean, he began to cry to God. And God heard him out of the holy temple of heaven. And God answered his prayer. And brother, let me tell you, you can't hide from God. If an old prophet can go to the bottom of the mountains, brother, God knows where you are. And so I don't know what's in your life today, but you can't hide from God. You can close the doors of your house. You can be involved in all kind of secret sins that you think nobody knows about. But I promise you, God knows about them. Amen. I promise you, God knows everything that's ever been done. God knows everything that is going on, and God knows everything that we'll be doing. That brings us into the final verses. Let me look here with you now, and let me go on and look in verses 11 and 12 of Psalm 139. All right, verse 11 and 12, the Bible said, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Verse number 12 says, yea, The darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. He said, if I say the darkness is going to cover me, he said the darkness will become light. In other words, if a man says, I'm going to hide my sin, God will bring them out. Boy, there's some of you, you've been so caught up in sin. You've mistreated people. You've manipulated people. You've tricked people. There's Christian people like that. They sure are. There are preachers like that. Boy, you've done so much trickery and craftiness, and you think nobody's ever going to open. You know what's going to happen to you? You may get through this life without God saying anything about that. You might. The Bible said some men's sins go before. Amen. Some men's sins, and all of them are not manifested in this life. But there's going to be, for the Christian, a judgment seat of Christ. Can you imagine when God begins to roll our sins back in front of other people, and our misdeeds, and our failures, and our faults in front of the whole church? And brother, let me tell you, there's going to have to be some repenting going on before there's some shouting going on. Amen. That don't mean we're going to be judged for our sin, but I tell you what it does mean. It's going to have a big bearing on the rewards that we get. Amen. Listen, I tell you what, I've said this, preachers don't like me saying it, but there's as much politics in the Baptist church as there are in Washington, D.C. And I'm going to say something about that. God's going to judge that one of these days. Brother, he may not judge it in this life, but he'll judge it. It's who you know and who you don't. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. I know the Lord. That's about all I know. Amen. I want to trust the Lord. I want to walk with God. But I sure don't want to hide things from God. I don't want to hide. The Bible said, whoso covereth his sins. Amen. The Bible said, whoso covereth his sins shall not prosper. You know why some people are not prospering? They're covering up sin. They're covering it. And by the way, when you cover one sin, you got to cover another sin. And you got to cover another. You remember David? He saw that woman up there. David should have been out there fighting the battles of the Lord. And David's laying on his bed at eventide. He's lazy, laying on the bed. And then he gets up. And by the way, laziness, idleness promotes sin. And he walks up on his house and he sees Bathsheba over there. And she was wrong. Bathsheba's on her roof. That's equivalent of being on your front porch. And she's over there. And we'll get to this later. 200 or 300 messages on the life of wherever we go in the life of David. I don't know when, but if God permits. But here's the thing about it. She was over there, and David saw her. And David looked on her. She was taking a bath on her, the equivalent of her front porch. She was wicked in her heart. And David took her. He did not rape her, but I believe she went willingly. And she committed a sin, and he committed a sin, and there was a child born out of that sin. Now, when she sent to him and said, I'm with child, David said, I got to do something about this. And so what he did, he went into crafty mode. He went into manipulative mode. And so he calls Uriah home, and he tells Uriah, go down to your house, send him a mess of meat, trying to uplift him. He wants Uriah to go down there, and Uriah wouldn't go. Uriah was smarter than it. He said, Joab and all Israel dwell in open fields. He said, how can I go there and lie with my wife and enjoy, my own house and not be, and Israel in tents? And so he wouldn't go. And you know what David said the next day? David wrote a letter to Joab, and Uriah carried his own death warrant back to, but you know what David was doing? He was covering that sin up. And boy, one day, a messenger came to David, and he said, Joab's dead. But Uriah's dead. And boy, I tell you what, old David in his heart said, man, I've got this thing now. I'll just take her and marry her, and nobody will ever know anything about it now, and we'll have the child, and everything will be all right. But you know what? There was a man named Nathan the prophet. And old Nathan the prophet looked at David, and he had more guts than a lot of people, and he said, thou art the man. And brother, he uncovered David's sin. He told David, and David acknowledged his sin. I believe this. Had David not got it right then and there, had David argued with the prophet, boy, some of you argue with the preacher, you're going to cover your sin. This second chance Christianity, it's sweeping the country. Let me say this to you. You need to confess your sin, and then, brother, it'll be up to God whether you can continue doing what you're doing or not. Amen. If you meet the qualifications, you can. If you don't, you don't. But you need to get your sins right. Amen. And so here's David now. And brother, if he'd have argued with the prophet, I believe God would have killed him, but he didn't. You know what David's darkness became? It became daylight in front of God. Now David knew this as a young child, a young boy, and he wrote this psalm a long time before the thing of him and Bathsheba happened. But David suffered over that sin, and God forgave David of that sin. God had mercy on David. Thank God that he did. By the way, when you come to God, whoso confesseth, the Bible said, whoso covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that forsaketh forsaketh his sin, and, well, I'm not quoting it word for word, but confess and forsake it, shall have mercy. If you'll confess your sin and you'll forsake that sin, God will give you mercy. God will give you mercy. Amen. And there might be talking to somebody today by radio. Listen, you need to forsake your sin. Amen. You may be into something your wife don't even know you're into. Your husband. You may be into something your children don't know about. You may be into something your workers don't know about. I don't know what you need to do. But you need to get right with God. Somebody needs to get right with God today. Then, sinner friend, if you're not saved, you will not run from God forever. You may run in this life. You may die. And the demons, I really believe this. I believe the devils escort a man to hell. If the angels escort a man to heaven, I kind of believe that, and that's my opinion, but I kind of believe the demons escort a man to hell. And you're going to be in that lake of fire, or you're going to be in hell, and you're going to burn until the white throne judgment. Then you're going to come out, and you're going to be judged before a mighty God. You won't speak on that day. You won't argue on that day. You won't even have a lawyer on that day. And then you'll be cast in the lake of fire where the devil's going to be. Boy, I sure wouldn't want to spend eternity with the devil, would you? Friend, if you're not saved today, you ought to call on God and get saved right now. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You ought to bow right by your radio and get saved right now and come to the Lord. Amen? Father, I love you. Thank you for this great day. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. I pray you'll save every sinner that is nearest hell. And then, God, Lord, for that saved person that might be walking afire like Jonah and David were, I pray you'll help them to get right with you in this hour. Lord, we need you in this hour. Lord, this country needs some confession and some getting right. And I pray you'll help us now. In Jesus' name, amen.